I want to take you from where we are right here to Hebrews 10:26, and I want you to see something that almost nobody believes. But I want you to see this in Hebrews 10:26. Now then, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. In other words, you know you've been here, you got cancer or you got prostate cancer, and I've told you that you've got a spirit of lust, and you agree with me, I do have. Now I need to get rid of that. Yes, I repent from my spirit of lust. We cast out the demon of lust, command it to leave. Now then, you have the power living within you by the power of the Holy Spirit to walk without giving place to the enemy anymore. You have the power within you to look at anybody you want to, anywhere you want to. Is that right? You can do that. You don't have to yield to the enemy. You have the power. Did Jesus come to destroy the works of the devil? Yes. Did he do it?
Yes.
Yes, he did. Okay, so then he gave you that power. So what can you do with that power? You can do all kinds of things. Yeah, you can tell that devil where to go. But what if he comes back and he gets you? In other words, you had prostate cancer, and I prayed for you after you repented, after you found out what causes it and everything, and then you repented, and you said, okay, God, forgive me. Will he forgive you? Yes, he did. He forgave you that time because you didn't know the difference. It's just like a father that when you say, son, now don't do this. If you do, I'm going to give you a spanking. Okay, so maybe the son does it and one time and he says, okay, son, this time I'm going to forgive you. I'm not going to give you the spanking, but don't do it again. Because if you do, I'm really going to bust your tail. Now that's mercy, isn't it? And grace. But then the boy says, well, the old man, he didn't bust me like he said the first time, so I'm going to try him again. Don't come in after 10 o'clock with a car. If you do, you ain't going to get to use it for a month. So he comes in at 10:15, and Dad says, son, did I tell you not to come in after 10 o'clock? I told you to be here 10. Well, Dad, I got tied up with some friends. We got to talking, and I forgot. Okay, Dad remembers when he was 18, 17. Okay, I'll forgive you this time, but don't do it again. So a couple of weeks later, he says, you know, the old man, he didn't, you know, he'll be asleep, you know. I mean, he always goes to sleep at 9 o'clock. You know, he can't even stay awake for the news. So he won't, that was a coincidence that night. He happened to be awake. So I'm just going to hang out till 11. No problem. And 11 o'clock, there ain't no way Daddy can go to sleep that night because the Holy Spirit's sitting there saying, stay awake. Stay awake. You told your boy to be in at 10 o'clock. You don't you dare go to sleep. And the Holy Spirit won't let you sleep. You don't know what I mean? And so 11 o'clock, the boy comes bouncing in, opens the door, and there sits Dad at the table, drinking his coffee. He said, what did I tell you? Well, Dad, but I got caught in all this traffic in there. He said, no excuses. You don't drive a car for a month. Give me the keys. It's over. Now then, it doesn't matter what he says. There's no sacrifice for that sin, is there? Now, look what Jesus says here for us. For if we sin willfully, in other words, we find out that doing some kind of sin is sin, and we've been taught that it's wrong. The pastor preached on it, and we knew we're not supposed to grumble and complain, ever. Now, see, y'all are all going to be held accountable. You're going to all be mad at me now, aren't you? But I'm not the author of the book, am I? The king wrote the book, right? It's going to be between you and him. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. No more. We willfully sin. He told us, don't you go out and do this. No grumbling and complaining. Or don't you go out and commit any kind of sexual immorality. Don't you go out and do this or this, or it's going to be costly. Now, some of these young boys that testified today, they went and fell back in it again. And did you hear any of them that got set free that went back into it without some kind of pain and suffering? Oh, I mean, that devil, he'll beat up on you. And in fact, some of you might even, I'm sure there's some young men, after two or three times, if they didn't stay faithful to God, the devil killed them. You know, they got overdosed on drugs or whatever. It happens all the time. We don't want to play with him. He's not someone you play with. Let's go to verse 27. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. People say, well, the adversary is somebody else. No, if you're the one that's walking in sin, you're the adversary. You're the one that's doing things wrong. Now then, a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. Just like the young boy. The first time he come in at 10:15, Dad looked over it. But then when he come in at 11 o'clock the next time, did Dad look over that one?
No.
He took the keys away from him, didn't he? Now you're going to walk. It's just like, I remember the man that told his son, said, son, you're going to have to go down and get a haircut by this weekend, or you're going to have to walk everywhere you go. Well, that weekend, he didn't want to get a haircut. He wanted his long hair. So he kept it, and he come in, and his dad said, okay, let me have the keys to the car. He said, but Dad, he said, you know, you take me to church. Even Jesus had long hair. He said, yeah, but Jesus walked everywhere he went, too. Dad was smart, wasn't he? He come right back with a quick answer. Yeah. Jesus never sinned, though, did he?
No.
But did he walk everywhere he went? Yes, he did. You know, it might do some of us some good. In fact, I went back there a while ago to put on a pair of slacks, and they were too tight. And I had to get another pair. I thought, oh, Lord, I guess I better work a little harder this week or eat a little less. I don't know which. Is that what happens to us? I've had both men and women on both sides. And I know this is not ethical for a Christian to do. Men and women that have divorced their mate because they got overweight. You know that? Yeah. I know a woman. She was a little bitty slim, trim, petite thing. And she had a husband that was the same way. He was a macho man. But over the years, 20 years of marriage or whatever, he got like so many men. His business got better and he didn't have to work quite as hard. They had other men working for him. And he continued to eat. And one day he got about 40, 50 pounds overweight. And she told him, you're too heavy and I want you to lose some weight. So he tried. But it was difficult. And it was slow to come off. And he wasn't getting it off fast enough. And so she divorced him. Now that's not right. But I've known men that have done the same thing to their wife. Because she's 10 pounds overweight. You either lose that weight, woman, or you're out of here. Some of them can, some of them can't. And so they divorce them. It shouldn't be like that, should it?
Nope.
We should stay with our mate, thick or thin. Whatever it is, you know, you're supposed to love them. In sickness and in health, whatever. Verse 28, let's see what he says there. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more sore the punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Nearly 30 and 31. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongs to me. I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. Now these boys that came up here and sing for us today, these boys all got off on some kind of a wild tangent in life. Did you hear in some of their stories how they suffered some consequences? Did you hear anybody that have a testimony that didn't have a consequence for their sin? Isn't that sad? But that's the way God works. God will judge you for doing things wrong. Will he forgive you?
Yeah.
Oh, praise God. That's why every one of these young men's here today, because they've all been washed in the blood.
Yeah.
And even though that one young man talking about going back through this two or three times, and God still forgave him and changed his life, and now he's on the right path.
Yeah.
Now then, you want to stay on that right path. Because if you're not on that right path and you don't stay on that right path, God loves you so much he will chasten you even to the point he will break your arm. If he has to. He will put you on your face, whatever it takes to bring you back into him, because he knows if you don't come back to him, guess where you're going to spend eternity when you die? You're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. And God don't want that for nobody, does he, Joseph? And if he has to break your arm or your leg to bring you back in, he'll do it. He has no problem with that. People don't see that. God would never break a bone in my body. Oh, yes, he will. God will make you sick. He'll discipline you. He'll put you on your face with cancer, he says in his word. People say, God would never put sickness on me. Anytime somebody tells me that, I got to say, you ain't read the same Bible I've read. Because I guarantee I can show you where it says it in there. God disciplines his people with sickness and pain deep in their bones. That's written in God's word in Job 33. It is written. But God, he loves people. He made us all, and he wants all of us to come and love him and serve him. And if we will not, We can go screaming into the pit of hell, and he is doing everything he can to get our attention, to bring us back to him, just like he's done all these young men back there, because he wants you to walk with him and love him and serve him and be his son. That's what he wants. And when you get a hold of that, wow, don't you like the part where God says, if you will obey me, if you will obey me and do what I say, I will command the blessings to overtake you.
Amen.
Don't you love that?
Yes.
What does it mean for the blessings to overtake you? You don't have to go out looking for the blessings. They just overtake you. Can you imagine having to run away? That's just like the other day. I'll give you an example. I'd done some things for a man to help a man. He bought him a car and some insurance and all kinds of stuff. And one of the men that was there when I did all this, he said, I can't believe you give money away like this. I said, well, the man was in need, and he was my brother in Christ. I said, God says, give, and it should be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. So a few days later, I told one of the guys with me, I said, you know, I want to put concrete in that barn down there, that shop we're building. And so I want you to go ahead and put some forms up in there, and I'm going to go over and tell the concrete people, when they have any overage concrete, I need some concrete. Well, that afternoon they had 3 yards free that they give us to put in one end of it. And the next morning by 7 o'clock they had 16 more yards ready to be poured. And before the day was over, we had 34 yards of free concrete. We concreted that whole thing. It didn't cost me a dime. And then the man said, wow, begin to see why you give away everything. Well, then a couple of days later, the guy called me again. He said, do you need any more concrete? I said, well, I need about a yard right now to put into a place. He said, okay, I've got a truck. It's got 3 yards on it. I'll send it over there right now. So you send it over, and we put the yard in the hole. And I said, that's all I need. The rest of it you'll have to take back to the plant and dump it. And then the guy from the plant called. He said, Thurman, if you got any forms up somewhere, I just had a 10-yard truck come back in. You know, if you can use 10 more, that's another $1,000 worth of concrete. It's free. That's what you call the blessings trying to overtake you. If you're obedient and do what God says, the blessings just, he commands the blessings to overtake you. Isn't that awesome? Now then, the other part you won't like. But if you do not obey me, I will curse you in everything you put your hands to. I don't like the curses.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, Long Life is Available Through Obedience, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and post-paid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and post-paid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. Again, www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.